We have hit record.
We have hit record.
So we're recording right now.
That is what's happening, yeah.
So we need to start the pod.
At some point, we don't have to start it right now. We can just sit here in silence.
I mean, that, I think
enjoy
that's
each other's company.
I think that's the best move for a pod. There's too many pods out there that just they just over talk.
They just talk the whole time, right? Like
we just need to enjoy the silence. I think that would be a beautiful pod right there. Just 60 yeah. minutes of us just.
It's like the fireplace channel on TV over Christmas and New Year, but it's just. Just a slight hiss in the background. That's all it is. A little hiss.
Just our like water gulp, you know, like you just scoffed a little bit. You know what I mean? Just those little sounds just be perfect for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
That'll win a Webby. This pod's not going to win a Webby reward. That will though. Okay. We need to switch it up starting with this pod right here.
Let's go.
How was your weekend, brother?
That was pretty fantastic, man. Other than, you know, it monsooning yesterday, stayed in, played some video games, chilled out.
Nice. What'd you play, dude? Talk to me, man.
I play Assetto Corsa, which is a driving simulator game.
Of course.
And, that's pretty much all I've been playing for a while now.
Nice. Nice, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? What you up to?
I watched a bunch of movies this weekend.
Yeah, I saw The Socials going wild. It's pretty awesome.
Socials are going wild. So, you... I totally forgot Friday when you texted me that Rebel Moon dropped part two, and I watched it. And oh my God, this Zack Snyder movie was so trash, okay?
I turned on the TV and you know, I was going to watch Supernatural or something, and it was just sitting up there in the little highlight spot. And that's when I texted you.
Pick me. I'm new. Yeah. I'm new. Okay. Click.
Yeah. I started it and watched about 15 to 20 minutes of it and then clocked out and started doing something else I needed to do. But I came back and finished it. It's kind of hard, but I did it.
There was nothing in that movie that I haven't seen before.
Well, it was like so much. Like it felt like just like a big, broad brush of a story. Like I didn't feel any kind of like connection to anybody really or any place. It was just like just a big wide open whatever you feel that's cool with me kind of thing.
I didn't care for any of these characters.
Right.
Even like their round table where they were like, before we go into battle, please tell me about yourself and why you're here. That was like Zack Snyder going, okay, I have a movie. I feel like my problem with all my movies is nobody is really connected to my characters. So let me connect the audience to the characters. And he still failed. He did the exact same thing that he did in Justice League. Like you introduced all these characters before we fell in love with them.
You're saying we should have got just another Army of the Dead movie. I'd been cool with that. Let's go that route. Bring the Rock in.
I would have enjoyed it. Of course.
$1 billion.
Who else?
$1 billion right there.
Netflix for the first time drops how much money that they made on a movie. Yes. Yeah. The Rock. It's in his contract to release that. Damn it.
Yeah, you got to release all the data. Yep.
It was a Star Wars film, and Lucasfilm was like, no, you don't want this. And so he switched it, but didn't really switch much except for like you know, he didn't have the Star Wars droids and he had all the same characters. And then the lightsabers were like not lightsabers, but they were close to it. You know what I mean? So
now they're supposed to be from, I think it was the Dax pod where he said there's supposed to be like a R-rated one coming out or something like that, where it's, this is like a very, very clean cut of the movie.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get, maybe he'll cut the stuff out we don't need and put in some real cool stuff.
So we're going
to actually be short. It'll actually be shorter than it is right now.
Or he'll keep it in there and make and get a, we'll get an 8-hour Rebel Moon part one and part two just together. A smorgasbord.
They are supposed to be really long.
Oh my gosh, dude. I did not like this movie at all. Guys, watch it. Don't watch it. Whatever. Everybody has Netflix. If you don't, you're not missing much. But if you have two, if you have one, an activity while you're folding clothes, there you go.
Yep.
Zack Snyder continues to be like a director that I want to like, I want to enjoy, but like, do we need every other scene to be a slow-mo kill? Every other scene?
I think this was like, I felt like this was too big. That's my take on it. It was like the movie was just way too big and broad.
It was. Agreed.
And maybe that's just the whole thing. I mean, maybe the big, the big broad platform was just not enough to, like I said, really care about one of the 8,000 people that were on screen at a time.
What was that Ryan Reynolds movie that came out a couple years ago on Netflix? Not with The Rock. It was the one he did with that kid.
Project Power. No, not Project Power. Project Adam. Something like that.
The Adam Project.
That I was close. I was.
You were.
Two more.
Hey.
Two more. Shane. I would have said it twice. Two more times. I would have got it.
I had. But you're right. And
Project Power was a dope movie too, though.
That was a really dope movie. But in both of those movies, let's take both those movies for example. They had more character development where you actually cared about the characters and what was at stake for them than this movie.
Yeah.
Just didn't care. Anyway, that's that. I also watched the Ministry. What the hell is it called? The new Guy Ritchie flick, the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare with my man Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
Now and, that movie,
Richson,
Adam Alan Richardson.
Alan, there you go.
Alan or NBA. Adam? Is it Alan?
Alan Richson?
We are just not. What do we do for a living here? This is what we do. Know, we're not good at it tonight. What are we doing?
At some point, it's just a bunch of names. Like, they're just kind of mixed together.
Adam Richson. Anyway.
It's Adam?
No, I think it's Alan. I haven't even got it pulled up yet.
You read on something? I took you 100% that I was wrong.
Okay. Henry Cavill, Alan Richson, Alex Pettifor, Eliza Gonzalez, and a whole bunch of other people in this movie as well. Henry Golding, Roy Kinnear, Freddie Fox. This movie now, I watched this Saturday, so Friday was Rebel Moon, trash, and I watched this Saturday, and this movie, man, this was a damn good time.
It looked like it was going to be a good time. Like, just those settings of movies are always pretty, pretty good.
World War II, just like a rebel team who has to go in and get the job done before anybody sees them, and the chaos that ensues and the planning. It's just fun, man.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie continues to be one of my favorite directors of all time and just kills it with the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare based on a true story. It's based off of Operation Postmaster from World War II. So, yeah.
Nice.
Definitely, man. Definitely. And then, obviously, finish up the week with our movie of the week, Abigail, that we'll talk about here in a few minutes, man. So, I've been busy.
I started rewatching Ted
the other day. TV show or movie?
TV show.
I've watched it twice all the way through already.
The movies are great, but that TV show just hits a way different level. I guess, you know, you get your movies out. You kind of got a nice baseline of what you can get away with. And then you can just dump it into this, like, the you know, you got John, who's still, like, the main, he's not the main character like he is in the movies, but still so damn funny. Like, you know, you're following Ted, but just that pair, if you split them up, they're just, it wouldn't be the same TV show.
And I hope we get a season two, man. I hope. So I want to see, like, because I think we just finished his sophomore year. I want to see his junior and senior year.
Yeah,
that would be dope. That would be dope, man.
That episode, that first episode, though, is just fantastic.
The first 5 minutes, man.
Like, yeah. Just that, the dinner, right? The dinner
is amazing. Just sets the entire tone for the entire show, and you're like, should I be laughing at this? F it. I'm going to laugh at this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome to the episode of Movie in a Pod. I am Clyde Smith.
And I'm Javier Villalobos.
On this week's episode, we're discussing shows for Transformers 1, Deadpool, and Wolverine. X-Men 97 in our movie of the week, Abigail. I almost messed up, guys, but I caught it.
You got this.
All right, team. So I have an outline, and my outline had one trailer that we'll talk about next week. And I had to update it because this Deadpool and Wolverine trailer dropped today. So we'll save that. But I didn't update my outline. So in my head, I was still about to say that trailer. So apologies. Right. Javi doesn't edit anything. So there's no redos. There's no, like, take two here out here, guys.
That's it. Since you changed this on me, I have to actually, like, get the trailer up too. So you put one on me too.
Hey, team, so we got some trailers coming at you. Transformers 1, which is an animated Transformers flick. And then we got the trailer just dropped today, Monday, April 22nd. We have Deadpool and Wolverine, guys. We do have a few socials you can check out in the link tree in the show notes. We have a YouTube page, guys, where you can see our full trailer reactions. And like always, like, share, subscribe. Appreciate you, team.
Good deal.
All right, team. According to IMDb here, we have Transformers 1, the untold origin story of Optimus Prime and Megatron, better known as sworn enemies, but once were friends, bonded like brothers who changed the fate of Cybertron forever. Directed by Josh Cooley. Coming to you, written by Andrew Barrier, Gabriel Ferrara, and Bobby Rubio. Coming with a great voice cast here, man.
Oh, yeah.
Optimus Prime or Orion Pax in this movie is Chris Hemsworth. Brian Tyree Henry is D16, other known as Megatron. Alita, Scar Joe, Keegan Michael Key. This is another guy who's everywhere, okay? He's also having him like a last couple years. He's fantastic. And he voices Bumblebee, B127. Love that. We got John Hamm, Centennial Prime, and Lawrence Fishburne as Alpha Tron. Steve Buscemi is in this movie as well.
It's okay.
Couple things, man, that I just want to state. Remember when we got X-Men Origins? Not X-Men Origins, that was horrible. X-Men First Class.
Yeah, that was a lot better.
Yes, X-Men First Class, where we got, like, Professor X, and we got Magneto, and they were actual friends who created the first team together. And we knew because we've watched, listened to the comics, read the comics, watched the movies, all the commentary and stuff, that they're eventually going to be sworn enemies, right? We knew what was coming, but it was really cool to see them first work together in this movie.
Yeah.
That's what I think the vibe is here, where we're seeing it beforehand. But also, I think you were right what you said during the trailer, going back to, like, hey, man, we have a lot of good, dope animation right now, thanks to thanks to the Spider-Verse, thanks to the Ninja Turtles movie. We can do that with Transformers as well, and we're seeing it right here, man. What were your thoughts, brother?
I mean, obviously, like I said, it was kind of the same vibe as, like, the Turtle movie that came out, where you're going to have a lot of comedy. It's going to be more of a good time than it is, like, a serious war movie, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, we kicked off, or, you know, just Transformers from the beginning has always been one against the other. Whether it's Megatron or whoever, it's always good against bad.
Yep.
And that same thing that went through the movies, everything. It's always been good versus bad. But this one looks like it's going to be like a, you know, this team of people who we think are supposed to hate each other or whatever, whatever. They're just going to, like, grow up. But we're going to see them. We're probably going to see them grow apart as well at the end.
I feel like, you know, there's going to be moments in regards to, you know, they're working together and they're friends. But there's going to be moments in this movie. And if it does well, obviously we'll get sequels probably leading up to it, leading up to that strife. But we'll see a lot of moments where the studio or the writers build on that tension.
Yeah.
And then we finally see them split and become Optimus Prime and then Megatron and kind of the Cybertronian war or whatever, man. This could be a really dope franchise if people pull up, man. You know what I mean? And we already know kids are going to pull up. But I think 80s, 90s Transformers fans also need to pull up, man. We need to pull up to see this flick, man. I got to support. So,
yeah,
you know my behind going to be in the theater.
So. I'll be there. Looks like a good time.
Yeah.
trailer was hilarious.
Yeah. Hey, team, we're going to throw Transformers 1 on our socials. Let us know your thoughts. Also, I don't know about y'all, man, but who is your favorite Transformer out of them all throughout the mythos, throughout the history and everything? You know, guys, I always consider myself the leader. So for me, it's obviously Optimus Prime, but there's a lot of other ones, guys. So let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Cheetor myself.
Oh, okay. It's B-152. That's B-152, but in cat form. I got you, bro. All right. IMDb states we have Deadpool and Wolverine. Wolverine is recovering from his injuries when he crosses paths with the loudmouth Deadpool. The team up to defeat a common enemy. Sean Levy wrote this with Rhett Reese and Ryan Reynolds. Man, Hugh Jackman just looks good in this movie. He just looks really so good in this damn trailer, dude. I am brimming with excitement, dude. Oh, JV, give me your thoughts, brother.
There was a smile on my face through that whole trailer. The whole thing. We got what seems to be a different Logan from what we've had before, which I think is how Ryan Reynolds gets away with these things. It's not the same one. He's not from that universe. He's a different one. Mm-hmm. Seems to be like super down. Like, for whatever reason. But then you got Ryan Reynolds. You got Deadpool, who's just brightening up the day right alongside him. Action-packed trailer. A lot of comedy. That Wolverine suit. The gloves with the sheaths on them for his claws.
Yeah.
Just a lot of good looking material in this one.
Yeah. That comic book 90s accurate Wolverine suit, man. Like, yeah. we got it teased at the end of The Wolverine, which is actually a really good comic book movie. Like, it's up there next to Logan as, like, 1-2 in the X-Men universe, like, to me.
FYI, don't look at the full cast and crew on IMDb for that one. It's not cool. Don't do it.
Of Deadpool and Wolverine?
Don't look at it.
Deadpool and Wolverine?
Just leave it in the dark. Don't look at that.
Nope. Nope. I gotta go do my research now. Let's see here. Right? Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, Emma Corrin, Marina Baccarin, Rob Delaney, Karen Soni, Leslie Higgins, Matthew McFadden. Oh gosh. Jennifer Gardner as Electra, Josh Brolin as Cable. Rumored. Brianna Hillebrand coming as Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Pat Stewart come back as Professor X. Rumored. Yukio. Aaron Swiford as Pyro. Lucas Tran as Shatterstar. Yes. Colossus, Barman, and New York. Like, dude, this is going to be epic.
That's nuts. And, I mean, that's just what they're showing. I mean, no telling what kind of other stuff is going on in the background.
Yeah, like, we saw, was that, okay, was that...
There's no way this is the whole cast.
No, because, like, you're going to have to put some people that are in the MCU currently in this film to connect it. You can't just have the head, you can't just have the agency that was in Loki, I forgot the name of it right now.
TVA.
The TVA, and you can't just have the Ant-Man helmet in here and be like, oh, we're in the MCU now. I mean, you could, but that wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah.
Dude, this is going to be the summer movie right here, bro.
I'm so stoked about this.
When this drops July, at the end, I gotta wait till the end of July? I gotta wait till almost August? Oh. Okay. Ooh. You know what? We have some good stuff in between now and then, so we'll have to make it work, man. We'll have to make it work, brother.
We just need a few more Abigails to drop between now and then. We'll be straight.
Luckily, we have X-Men 97, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes, team. Hey, guys, we'll throw Deadpool and Wolverine on our socials. I know we probably talked about the teaser trailer a few weeks ago. Yeah. We have the full trailer out now. Let us know your thoughts, guys. Sean Levy, bringing the heat. I'm excited. All right, man, let's keep on trucking here with X-Men 97, episode 6, Life, Death, Part 2. Storm is forced to face her worst fears in order to free herself, and
she's back.
We got
Halle Berry back.
Oof, we got like a comic accurate, like early. We got an early Storm as well. So yeah, we definitely can get some Halle Berry back. this series is very interesting to me because this series, like, every episode really has basically told two different stories.
Yeah, yeah.
They split up time. In the 33, 30-whatever minute runtime of these episodes, they split up time. So first part of it about this, well, it was kind of intertwined, which I actually liked, was one half of this episode was about Storm and her facing her fears and getting back her powers and everything. Other one, we come to find out that Professor X is alive and well. He's just off planet, kind of hanging out in this exoskeleton suit with some other race of people. To be perfectly honest with you, man, this has been my least, like, this was less enjoyable than the Motendo episode.
You take it back right now. You take it back right now.
Like,
I'm with you. It wasn't very exciting. Yeah,
I just, like, I know they're like building towards something. I get that, right? And all these episodes are culminating into something overarching and big. That's kind of what Marvel does well. You know what I mean? So that's exactly what they're doing with this here. I just, like, Professor X, you up here in space with these other race or whatever, and then doing, like, their Civil War infighting thing, I didn't care. The coolest part of this episode is when he kind of took charge. Remember that he was Professor X and basically took their ass to school. I thought that part was dope, man.
Agreed.
He kind of had his Michelle Pfeiffer Dangerous Minds moment is what he did.
So it's kind of just overshadowed by that last episode.
Remember me
trying to come up off an episode like the last one. Pretty hard.
Yeah.
And like you said, the way they're telling the stories, like almost two different stories per episode is getting a little confusing. But cause you just don't know what to expect. Right.
Yeah. Like,
what's next week's episode? I have no idea because they could go and, you know, go hiking or something and find some apples or something. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. Cause there's no real storyline.
Yeah. That is no,
like,
agree.
Like a pathway per episode.
Yeah, man. I mean, once again, like, dope episode, still beautiful, still rocking with this series. I'm enjoying it. Just not a fan favorite when they don't have any of my favorite characters in it. I mean, Gambit did die, so I'm kind of stuck, you know, with like Cyclops, Wolverine. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't have many people left. But you know, enjoying this, man. I'll rock to it. We'll throw it on our socials, and we'll just wait for next week's episode, man. Hopefully it gets better. So, team, we're going to throw Life Death Part 2 on our socials. Let us know if you're still rocking with this series. All right, team, we got Abigail. This movie dropped at the film festival on April 7th, dropped in theaters in the United States here on April 19th. Nice. This movie is directed by Matt Benetti Open and Tyler Gillett, written by Stephen Shields and Guy Busick.
We have a budget of 28 mil, and it's grossed 15.2 mil so far. Starting this, we have Melissa Barrera as Joey, Dan Stevens as Frank, Alicia Weir as Abigail, Will Catlett as Rickles, Catherine Newton as Sammy, Kevin Durant as Peter, Angus Cloud as Dean, Giancarlo Espinosa as Lambert, and Matthew Good as Abigail's father.
Oh, yeah. All right, brother.
That's it.
Give us a quick synopsis of this flick.
A group of criminals are hired to kidnap a young ballerina, and they end up trapped in a house where something evil is going to make their night pretty terrible.
All right, man. All right. Good right. Good right there. All right. So let's go ahead and jump right into this, man. We'll start at the top. We have Melissa Barrera, who is known, basically came to fame with in the Scream series, the last couple of movies. She also was in the Heights, and fantastic role in the Heights, by the way. Like, loved her in that movie. If you haven't seen In the Heights, guys, it's a great musical by John M. Chu. Highly recommend. Anyway, back to this. We get a group of people. We get a team. And you know me, I'm always a sucker for a good, let's put a team together, right? And the whole point of this is they all have different skills. Melissa, she is, her skill set is kind of the co-lead, but also like has to just be the only one who talks to the child that they kidnap. Yeah. Dan Stevens is Frank's. He's the cop, kind of the enforcer, kind of like the lead. Will Catlett is Rickles as the, his role is more like lookout, sniper, whatever. Catherine Newton is like tech, Sammy. Yeah. Kevin Durant's the muscle. I don't know what other thing he can be other than muscle. And they said explosives. So cool.
Yeah.
And
boy's jacked.
Oh, he's a big boy. He's, yeah. We've got Angus Cloud as Dean, who's the driver there. So we got this team, and this team is, their whole thing is to abduct this girl, Alicia Ware, as Abigail, bring her to this place. And it's a very interesting job to begin with, like abducting a girl, a young girl. Signing on for that is tough. Thing.
It's a whole situation they got going on. Like, they just, didn't just like scoop her up out of like a convenience store or something, you know? They had to infiltrate, recon, you know?
They had to Danny Ocean this shit, man. Yeah. You know? What are you, Danny Ocean? Oh, Superbad still is the best movie of all time. Really? I love it that we can use it like in every conversation. Like we can use something in that movie, a line that just works in every conversation for the rest of my life. You just stop talking about this movie, start talking about Superbad for 2 hours. Let's do it. Yeah, this is our pod, right? But anyway, like, so they have this elaborate scheme to abduct this girl. They abduct her from her home and move her to this other safe house home thing. And that's where, you know, Giancarlo Esposito is as Lambert and tells him, like, hey, brought the girl here. You're good. Your job is now is to hold her for 24 hours. I'll do the rest. I'll get us the ransom money. Don't worry about that. I got you. Food, booze, pool, whatever you guys want to do here. You got to be here for 24 hours with the girl. I'm sorry, but there's so many parts in this that I'm just like, I'm out.
I mean, you know, they were all kind of like that until they started talking about like 7 million split.
Nice.
You know, I mean,
7 million is nice, and I get it. And like,
they don't know the plot of the movie, you know.
They haven't seen the trailer. And like, I'm kind of stuck there as putting myself in the shoes of these people. One, like, I don't think I am gonna be bad enough to be able to kidnap a girl, like a young girl. I can't. She's like less than 15 years old. I don't know. She's like 12 or something, maybe even younger than that, whatever. But then to kidnap her, bring her to this home, shackle her for a ransom.
Yeah.
And then the lead guy who put the team together was like, you got to be here for 24 hours. And then you figure out that this girl's daughter is some big like mob boss or whatever. Like,
yeah,
no. And there's so many times where I'm just like, screw this, I'm out. And it was from the start. And the team is like, well, it's 7 mil. So that was the through line. The start. 7 mil. 7 mil is worth all of this trouble that we might be in. Yeah. And come to find out, this little girl is a vampire. And the chaos ensues. The chaos ensues, man.
Yeah.
For me, the strength of this film was obviously the Joey and Frank as the two like leads of the team.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts, man?
Yeah. I mean, Joey, they're kind of the opposite sides of the whole thing, right? You got Joey, who's kind of trying to be the caregiver, make sure the little girl stays fine. Then you got Frank, who's like, let's just go ahead and kill her. Let's just get it over with. I mean, that tells you everything about both of them right there.
Yep.
And that's how it goes through the whole movie. It's like Joey's caring everything else, and Frank's just wants to get out of there alive.
Can we just give it up for Dan? For Dan Stevens for a second, man. Talk about somebody who's having a year. Okay? He got to hang out with Godzilla. Okay?
He's partying. Okay? Yep.
He's hanging out with Dracula's daughter, right, in this movie. And he's in some supernatural thriller with the chick from whatever the hell that popular teenage show is on. Damn it! Why the hell can it not come to mind right now?
Oh no!
On HBO, what the hell is it called? Euphoria. You know, he's just doing.
Oh, I got you.
Dan Stevens is having a year, and he got to play a totally different character than he does in those movies. In this, I haven't seen Cuckoo yet, but he's playing a totally different character, and like he pulls off that like Brooklyn ex-detective cop guy. Very believable. I did not know Dan Stevens had this range, man. You know?
Boys over here jumping off of helicopters and stuff in one movie and fighting vampires next. I mean, that's a resume there. I mean, it's just up from here, man. There's no more going down.
You're getting that Oscar, right, baby. You're getting that Oscar next, baby. Okay? Better get you a gold statuette in the next year or two, baby. Oh, and he's just fun. Like, him in these two movies that we watch, right? Godzilla and then this, man. Just a really good time. And then we have, like, the other characters. So, like, real briefly, before we even get to Alicia Ware, who's obviously the star, we have Will Catlett as Rickles, sniper guy, typical military, ex-military guy, whatever, mercenary, whatever, right? Like, don't trust anybody, kind of quiet, just wants to get the job done to get paid, and then he's like, screw this, I'm out, F this. Catherine Newton was an interesting addition to this movie. Kind of annoying. Like, I really enjoyed her in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yeah.
She was kind of annoying in this movie. Like, not in a way that, like, I didn't like her, but I guess that's what the script called for. You know?
Yeah, because she was basically, like, spoiled rich girl. But
yeah, her... Yeah,
trying to pretend she was, you know, on the streets kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and let me rephrase that. Her performance was good. Her character was not enjoyable as far as, like, I didn't like that person. Because, exactly, I think she was just trying too hard and, like, laughing and being, ha, 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 or whatever. So, but I do like Kevin Durant's Peter, though. Like, he was just lovable oaf.
That's the words I was about to say myself. And just a great addition for the comedy relief, right? Even though it's like super dry and it's always a joke on him.
Yeah.
But it plays off well because he's gigantic, right? And you can be whoever you want to be and say whatever you want to say when you're gigantic.
That's yeah. Right. And like, he gets that splinter. And I don't know about you, bro. Like... We have a nice little crowd who went to go see this movie, right, at the theater. And, like, it's all tense, right, because they're all looking for Abigail to, like, kill her and stuff like that. And then he starts screaming, and he screamed one time, and we're like, oh, whatever. And he screams again, and he has a splinter, and we're like, dude, that's good writing right there, man.
Yeah, it was basically me laughing by myself super loud.
I love it.
Through this whole movie. The whole movie.
Ah, dude. Then we got rest in peace to Angus Cloud, who passed away earlier this year. We have him as Dean, who's the driver. And he basically plays his character from Euphoria. He's like this pothead and kind of just, you know, talks like this. And just always, seems like he's always high or whatever. But supposed to be he's a good driver. That's kind of his thing. So... that's the team. But yeah, let's focus on Alicia Ware's Abigail and equal parts, like, sweet, equal parts, deliciously scary. Like,
we'll put,
she's a ballerina vampire.
Well,
who is toying with these people the entire movie.
Yeah.
Toying with them.
Yeah, she definitely, like, comes off at the very beginning like she's not a vampire. Like, it's really hard to tell, like, if you hadn't already seen the trailer.
Yeah.
That, like, I wouldn't have thought it would, you know, anything about her at the beginning of the movie, which is, like, I guess the whole point of the whole trap, right?
Yeah.
But once she flips that switch, it is pretty amazing how she goes from that little girl to the killing machine as an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to watch, man. That's a transformation right there.
Yeah.
And then just going back and forth, being like the scared little girl, like just trying to talk to them, and then going back like that, just good acting on a dime. And obviously it's like, stop, let's go back, let's put the teeth in, let's make you scarier, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I get that, but like, the movie overall with that performance, man, was just really fun and believable. And you were like, you know, maybe she is telling the truth. Maybe this is the passage out of here. If you pull that Agatha Christie novel back, you'll get there. And it's not, you know what I mean? That she'll, if you let her out, she'll let one person live. You know what I mean? Like, there was just so much in here that it's just like, this is, she is just deliciously evil and fun, man, from start to finish.
I'm just having a good time in her little rat maze she created for him.
Yeah. And then we have an elaborate maze in this movie as well, right? Where you can't get out of the house. All the bars and doors and everything is locked up and everything. And there's this one place in the entire house that has like sunlight coming through where they can hang out at, and they know it's like a time clock, right? They know that they can't spend forever here because it's gonna get dark again, and she's gonna come in here and she's gonna toy with us and eventually kill us as well. So
wasn't it like that little spot of light was supposed to be gone? And like, just something was not working correct or something like that when it was trying to shut down.
Yeah, like, I think Joey, like, I remember like Joey kind of moved, like pulled a lever or whatever in the door. Yeah. It was like cracking, trying to close. Yeah. And then Joey moved the lever and it opened up. So that's why it was there. You know, I love when movies give us little breadcrumbs for later on. And that's what that was.
Yeah.
That was dope, man. All right, just let's talk briefly, man. You know, we have basically one big set, and that's this house. That's this mansion. Yeah. This is a scary vampire house.
It looked cool. A lot of cool stuff.
A lot of cool stuff, man. I would not hang out there. Yeah, I would never hang out there. That wouldn't be like my crib.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, yo, man, let's throw a razor there. Like, that wouldn't be it.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be pretty awesome. I mean, the library was pretty dope. Don't say.
As soon as I saw that big ass picture of the dad and the daughter, and they look scary as hell, I'm like, nope, wrapping up this party, guys. This party, we're not even, don't even put that table back up, Jonathan. We're not playing beer pong here, okay? Put that shit back in the truck, John. John's like, yo, let me get a game in, bro. Let me get a game in.
What are you doing?
I drove this far, but let me get a damn game in, bro. I'm undefeated.
Trying to sink a couple of cups under the moonlight right now. Really messing it up for me.
Exactly, man. Yeah. No, I would not hang out in this house at all, man. But it's like it's one of those like Victorian Gothic houses that has so many passageways and different feels to it. I just thought for the longest time that like bad things were going to happen to them, or more bad things are going to happen leading up to them finding out that she's a vampire. And it was them just really just drinking and chilling and hanging out, which probably for Abigail, was probably like, let me get them drunk, let me get them fat, let me get them tired for them. So then it's going to be easier for me to go ahead and do this, where she probably before they probably were easier prey
than
this team. So, I don't know, man. I really thought the house was gorgeous. Now the music itself, I give it up for Brian Tyler. Brian Tyler got really famous, the composer, from doing basically every movie and every movie in Phase 2 of the Marvel films. He did them all.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, he did them all except for I think he even did that. Let's see here. We're going to back up a second.
Okay. I'll just my pause the recording right now.
Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Age of Ultron. So he did those three. He
did a lot.
He did a lot. Yeah, three out of the five or six, whatever. So his score here, man, he ups his game. Definitely scary, definitely gothic. But also there was like some moments where it was just like the music was fun because we're trying to have a good time as well.
Yeah, definitely for a vampire gore kind of movie, there was a lot of good times.
Like, yeah.
It was, like, you know, when she just takes off flying, right? that was more funny than it was anything else in the movie.
Yes,
and that's all dedicated to Frank right there. That was that character was where it was at.
Like it was Frank, and it was that score combined.
Yeah,
it
was. And it's like there was like a breeze as she was like in the air, like all her. It's just, it was a lot, but it was fantastic.
Like, she's a kid, so she's not going anywhere. It's probably like a 200-pound man. He's not going anywhere. She's just lifting his leg. He's still on the ground. I just had fun. Had fun, man, with this soundtrack and everything, man. It was just really fun. Yeah, Brian Tyler did his thing. I even like the bits where like they introduced her as a ballerina in the beginning, and then when she dances with Dean's head, like Dean's body, headless body, which was wild, which was crazy, but it was just like, this is where we are. This is the type of movie, man.
Dude, that was another just laugh out loud moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it was like super creepy, it was just handled by her so well, like.
Yeah.
Just the seriousness of like, you think this young girl is on a stage dancing with a headless body covered in blood. And basically by herself there.
And you saw like in the trailer, like you saw like her feet like dancing with another body and you assumed that it was a corpse. But the fact that it panned all the way up and it was somebody who was headless, it's like, oh, all right. That was dope. That was dope. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right, man. Theme of this movie.
I'm ready for this one.
Oh, man. Gosh. See, this is always the tough part for me.
I mean, I guess it could be the power of friendship. I'm not sure.
It's not the power of friendship.
I mean,
it's close. It's close.
Very loosely, the power of friendship.
It's Huey Newton. It's who? I can't even get it. Huey Lewis in the news. The power of love. Okay, that's what it was. That's what got Joey out of that damn house. Her being true and keeping her promise. Keep your damn promise, right? Keep me safe. She promised the kid that. She did everything in her power. And she got out of that damn house. Nah, man, they really weren't going for much. What I did enjoy is that, like, you know, as fun and as gory this movie was, we did get some emotional beats in regards to Joey and her kid, and then Abigail and her father, and then the connection between Abigail and Joey at the end. So we did get some emotional beats, man. And like, there's a line that they could have towed where it would have been too much and corny, but they stuck the landing.
Yeah, I mean, it was knocking on that door.
It was about to get corny.
Yeah.
And they were like, I think we're good.
By the time, like, the corniness of the kind of humor that was being passed around, by the time it creeped up on that wall, it was some sort of practical effect.
Yeah.
That kind of took you back into, okay, yeah, there's actually a vampire in this house, like, ripping people to pieces.
And then, like, when Joey was about to fight the other vampire, I'm not going to spoil, but when Joey was about to fight the other, like, just raised hands. I was like, where the hell does she think is about to happen?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, she, you know, you would have think that would have been a pretty easy, like, broke neck situation.
Yeah, should have been, but we're in the movie, so, you know, nobody gets their neck broke. So.
Well, a few of them do, but, you know.
Yeah, gruesome deaths. Gruesome, awesome deaths, guys. All right, team. So that's our conversation about Universal's 2024 flick, Abigail. JV, give me your thoughts and ratings on this, brother.
Yeah, this one's really hard to do a real solid rating on, like, because, like, I laughed. I had a great time, like, with the way the comedy was laid out and the way the effects were laid out and kind of those things. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the movie itself, story-wise, was not that great.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'd say go see the movie because it was fantastic in its own right of a goofy, kind of funny, still kind of disturbing film.
Oh, yeah.
But don't expect to, you know, have any kind of just big epic story that's going to leave you with your breath taken at the end by any means whatsoever. None of that. But I think you'll give it a solid $3 of popcorn, man. It's definitely worth a watch, and it's probably going to be watched a few more times. But it's not like a, you know, it's not a great story. It's just a fun time.
Yeah, I feel you.
What about you?
For me, man, I think Universal with this and Renfield, they are doing something incredible. They tried a few years ago, we talked about it, with Tom Cruise with, like, that Mummy movie, the reboot of the, you know, the MonsterVerse or whatever, right? They tried, and the Mummy just, I enjoyed that movie more because of Tom Cruise and the other cast, but it just didn't do well in the theaters like it should have been.
Yeah.
So it kind of stopped the process in regards to the MonsterVerse. I think what Universal is doing here, and they could do this with other ones as well, is just like, we don't need a MonsterVerse in regards to a shared universe and, you know, all the monsters come together and whatever, you know, we don't need that.
Yeah.
You got take your IP and make good movies, make really good movies here. You did it with Renfield. You did it here. I think The Invisible Woman couple years ago was another movie that they did very, very well. Gotcha. I think that was that. Yeah, I can't remember.
Just kind of work on them a really good standalone movie.
Yeah,
try to have to build a big world. It's done all over the place already.
Yeah, and if you do that, man, you will have a lot more success where you bring in good writers and you bring in a good director or directors and stuff and be like, yo, man, we are going to have a good time.
Yeah. We're going to have also have different people every time, and it won't hurt the movie before it, kind of thing.
Yep.
Right. Like, if you're trying to connect all these movies together, but they're all directed and produced by different people, then that could be a problem.
Yeah, man. The cool the thing with, like, the Marvel movies is that there's a through line. His name is Kevin Feige, and he has a team of people behind him that is producers who assist on every film. You know what I mean? So that's the through line.
You can see the differences in the movies, but...
Of course.
But the main feature or the main line of it is, you know, you can tell they're all supposed to be the same thing.
Yep, exactly.
But with everybody's a little bit of touches, especially Tycho's. He don't care.
The best, man.
He don't care. He's going to do this.
But I think Universal, with their monster films, man, and the three that I'm going to talk about is Abigail, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, and then Renfield. They're doing well because, like, Renfield was a comedy action film. Abigail was like a comedy thriller. Last Voyage of the Miller was just a horror thriller film, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, they're toeing the line with what they can do. If they stay in that realm, continue to bring in good writers, directors, man, they can make some really good movies with their whole monster IP. Once again, things still have to be connected, man. For this film, though, I went in this thinking I was going to give this like a bucket and a half of popcorn.
I was not expecting anything great.
This film, though, man,
corn.
I did not think I was going to laugh this hard. I didn't think I was going to be able to connect with the characters as much. This movie, man, this is a $4 of popcorn for me, man. Right. I really enjoyed this film. I haven't laughed this hard. Like, I laughed at Rebel Moon because it was so trash. I laughed at the Ministry of Ungentlemen Warfare because it was just so, it was naturally funny and good. It was a sexy film. This one, man, just gut busting laughing the entire time, man. $4 popcorn, like, man. Highly recommend.
Yeah, like that beginning of it where the kidnapping's happening. I was like, I'm not really enjoying right this moment where this movie's going. I'm super concerned as where we're at right now. But after, you know, like the third or fourth laugh I had, where I was like, I'm not sure if this is supposed to make me laugh,
right?
Or if this movie's awful. I'm so confused. there was a lot of confusion. And after a while, I was just like, okay, this is where we're going. We're just going to have a good time. Okay.
You ever go to like a comedy show or like even in a movie, right? Where like a joke happens or whatever and you start laughing at it and then you're like, I don't know if I should be laughing. So you look around to see if anybody else is laughing and then you're like, all right, I think I'm good. All right, this is good. So
not in my theater. It was just me.
It was just you.
I didn't care. Like I said, after like third or fourth one, I was like, this is where we're at.
$4 popcorn, team. Thank you for subscribing to this week's episode, talking through 2024's Abigail. Next week, we'll be discussing the 2000 college flick, 100 Girls.
You can catch that streaming on Tubi.
Like always, I am Clyde Smith. You can find me across all socials. I am Clyde D. Smith.
I'm Javier Villalobos. You can find me across all socials at Mr. J8200.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Like always, keep watching and run away from vampires.